So here we are, 2022. Happy New Year, right? Does it feel happy? You know, we there's a scene in the movie and in the books, The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, one of the first books and the first movie. And our nine members of the fellowship, they are working their way through this mine, this big, huge area, and they're through this mountain trying to get to the other side and get out, and they're escaping from different enemies and such, when this one, we'll just call it a monster, it's called a Balrog in the book, but it's just, well, if you're not familiar, it's a monster, and it's coming after them, and they go across this very narrow bridge, and the leader of the group, Gandalf the Grey, the wizard, he turns around before he gets fully to the other side, and he's standing there, and he faces this thing, and he utters some things about who he is, and then he says, deep voice, you shall not pass. Great iconic scene. And he takes his staff, and he runs it into, jams it down on the bridge, and the bridge collapses, and the monster falls. And I think about that scene when I think about how we come to the new year. And that all the stuff that was bothering us last year, kind of chasing us, right up to December 31st, 11:59. You know, it's coming there. And then we want to kind of turn around and just say, it's a new year, you shall not pass. And it's all just going to drop away and go, oh, no, a new year. Sorry, we're not going with you. Have a happy new year. I have a feeling whatever you were dealing with 2 weeks ago is probably still kind of hanging around this year, this week. It didn't just go away. Chances are any financial stress that you had, you know, unless January 1st meant that, you know, an inheritance finally came through, chances are you probably still got that same financial stress. Or if you've been dealing with a broken heart, when that clock struck 12, that broken heart didn't suddenly mend magically like you were in a Cinderella movie. Or that when January 1st got here, that shadow of grief that may just be hovering over you didn't suddenly just dissipate like a cloud and go away. Or your fragile relationships didn't suddenly just strengthen overnight. Whatever baggage you were carrying or what kept following you around last year, I imagine it's still here today. And so here we are. It's a new year, but we're still the same, aren't we? Whatever hopes, dreams, disappointments we had are still lingering around. Whatever bad habits you wish to correct, probably still kind of tripping you up. I've got some things. You know, we do some things. We say, well, this is the year. This is the year I'm going to start saving more and spending less, until you see that thing that you like. Or you say, this is the year I'm really gonna get healthy. I saw a little picture. It was a grocery store, and there were like some boxed donuts there, and you can see one was missing, and in its place were these little weights, you know, that you lift. Were there. It's like that resolution died right then. You know, I have found that I can't eat cookies. Not because they make me sick, because I can't just eat one. Yeah. Preach it. Yeah. You know, suddenly a thousand Girl Scouts just went, you know. There's a disturbance in the forest. They're like, you know, like little sharks. I smell blood. Let's go. This morning we were kind of getting ready, and we had some donuts. Somebody brought donuts home. And I'm going to have a donut. No, I'm not going to have a donut. I'm not going to have a donut. I'll microwave some little sausage links, have some protein. That's good. Before I left the door, I cut one of the donuts in half and I ate it. And then I ate the other half. And it, as can you relate? I think you can. The laughter tells me, yeah, you're with me on this. You know, we have these plans, these things we want to do, we want to be, and yet we still find that our frailties, our temptations, well, they're still with us. It's a new year, but we're still the same. You may still have that proverbial 99 problems, but that does not mean you are without hope. That's what I want us to see this morning. That even with being the same, we still have some hope. Let's think about some of the issues that trip up us. Jesus said, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Maybe you still have some heart problems. Maybe there's some thoughts you just wish you could cast away, but they just keep coming back. Maybe the words you use, as much as you don't want to, they still wound and murder. Maybe your eye and your thoughts keep wandering to people they shouldn't. Maybe you still struggle telling the truth when you think it might get you in trouble. It's here. Jesus is saying it's here. The problem is the heart. And it's the heart that needs to be dealt with. In the change of a calendar, whether you use one of those old ones on the wall and you flip it up and put up a new one, or you just have a little digital thing somewhere, go, doop, it's a new year. Calendars don't fix hearts. They're not heart surgeons. You need something more. Or maybe you've got a different kind of problem. Mark 4, we read this. Jesus said, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Maybe what you're bringing into this new year is you still have a hearing and vision impairments. I mentioned this before, you notice that I wear glasses. I have a very bad astigmatism. I'm like that guy. There's a story in the Gospels where Jesus heals a man and he kind of does it in two steps. And the first step, he said, "Well, how's your vision?" And he said, "Well, I've gone from not seeing anything to seeing people, but they look just like trees and stuff." That's me. That's where I'm at right now. If I take off my glasses, you're just a blur. I know there are people out there, but that's it. And then this year, I noticed I got a ringing in my ear. And told the ENT that wound up doing my sinus surgery about it. And he said, "Well, go get your hearing checked." So I went and got my hearing checked. And she looked through the thing. She said, "You know, I would think in one ear, you had been shooting guns all your life." "No, I just rock out in my car to NPR every day. I just, you know." So I don't always see, you know, especially without my glasses, I don't see as well. I don't maybe hear as well. That hearing aid is coming. But more importantly, sometimes I don't see the things of God that I need to see. I don't hear Him like I need to. You relate to that? It's right there in black and white where you read it and you're still like, "Huh, what is he saying?" Or you see it, well, you know, so-and-so needs to read this. So-and-so needs to hear that, but we don't see how it applies to our lives. So maybe it's your heart. Maybe it's your hearing. Maybe it's your vision. Or maybe you relate to this. Paul writes in Romans, he said, "So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." So maybe what you have, you still have some follow-through issues. There are things you want to do and you don't do. And there are things you don't want to do and you do them. No matter how committed you are to not doing something or doing something, you just keep tripping up. You find that Jesus' words are true. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So no matter how many times people told you, have a happy new year, if you were unhappy last year, you're probably still unhappy this year. If you were struggling last year, you're probably still struggling now. Nothing changed in the twinkling of an eye that is moving from one year to the next. It's a new year, but you find you're still the same. And you make the resolution, say, this is going to be the year. I'm going to lose the weight, or I'm going to get stronger, or I'm going to read more, and I'm going to do this. And then you just find that, like everybody does, it just all kind of peters out. I know that sounds like a bunch of bad news, but I want to give you the good news, and it's this. It's a new year. But our God is still the same. Our God is still the same. Malachi 3 says this, "I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed." Now he's speaking to the Israelites. He said, "Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty." Now, here's what I want you to see in this. Because he is unchanging, he is trustworthy. You can return to him. You may have been faithless, but he is still faithful. And you can rely on him. You can rest in him. Right now, just think about what are you doing as you're sitting here in these chairs or sitting at your couch at home. Is there any part of you is going, I'm worried about this chair holding me? No, you probably sit down, this is good, I'm okay. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to rest in him. And know that he is there. This past year may have been a year of wandering for you in many different ways. And you may have found that you have wandered away from him. Maybe not in any big dramatic way. Maybe you didn't walk away and say, "I no longer believe." But maybe you just found that your heart got a little colder. Your interests moved further away. And he says, "Return to me. Come back to me. I am here. You can trust me." There's another passage back in Exodus. Moses has already brought down the first tablets of the Ten Commandments. They found the people partying and worshiping idols, and throws down the tablets. And now he needs a new set. So God calls him back up and he says, "So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up on Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him." That's powerful, isn't it? God stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents of the third and fourth generation. Now, there's two things here, two sides of the same coin that we want to see. Because he is unchanging, he still brings mercy and justice. If your heart, if your soul, if your life is in need of mercy, it's there for you. But notice this, if you've been wounded, if you've been hurt, if you've been wronged, justice is coming. We want justice, don't we? We look around at our society, we look around at things, and we want people to be held accountable for their actions. And we get frustrated when they don't. When we see oftentimes it's people who are lower on the hierarchical scale of power that wind up doing things. But, you know, if you got enough money, if you got enough power and position somewhere in life, whether it's in government or business, somehow it seems like you can get away with things. And the worst thing that can happen to you is you might get voted out of office, but that's it. Something within us cries out, there needs to be justice. And know this, God will bring his justice. God will bring it in his time. Psalm 103, we often read this at funerals. It says, the life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. Because he is unchanging, his love is everlasting. I need love. I need God's love. You need love. It's a one primal thing that many of us are looking for is we want love. We want someone to love us. And we have a God who made the stars in the heaven as far away as they might be, who made this planet, who made the DNA, that the language that made you, you. And he loves you. He came for you. He walked among us. And in the times when you were unlovable, his love was even greater. That's how much he loves you. And here's the thing. You know, this time of year, it's the first of the year. This is the time gym memberships go way up, right? Weight Watchers, all those accounts, and Jenny Craig, whoever's out there selling stuff, it's all out there. This is the year, people say, this is the year I'm gonna turn my everything around. Folks, if you don't put one extra cent in your savings account or pay down 1 cent more on your debt, you are not any less loved by God. If you don't shed 1 ounce of weight, you are no less loved by God. If you don't build any muscle, you are no less loved by God. If you said, you know, this is a year I'm reading the Bible, and you've already gone off that wagon, you are no less loved by God. God's love doesn't change. Now, God does want you to change, to grow, to become more mature in your faith. That's very clear throughout the scriptures. But that's not the same as earning his love. His love is already there. He just wants you to grow, to become what he created you to be in the first place. That often means that we need some friends to study scripture with. Folks, it's this easy. It is this easy. Let me tell you, here's what you do. Start with Luke, Matthew, Mark, or John, one of those gospels. Get three or four friends together and say, let's read a chapter a week at whatever pace you want to read it, and then let's get together and let's talk about what we read. And then let's pray for each other. If you could do that, you would maybe see a little bit better, hear a little bit better. Maybe your heart would be a little bit better spiritually. It doesn't have to be hard. If you want to get healthier in some form or fashion, find some friends. Find some friends and let's do something together. If you need to, you know, deal with your finances, there are people who will help you. But at the end of the day, know this. It will not make you more or less loved than you are right now. It's a new year. And you and I are still bringing our same temptations, trials, hopes, inconsistencies, irrational thinking, all that stuff. It's still here. We have a God who does not reason like we do. We have a God who is a rock that you can stand upon, that you can cling to. And if you take his words and you put them into action into your life, Jesus said you will be like someone building their house on a rock rather than on sand. And you can do that because we have a God who does not change. And that promise did not go away. We have a God who made a deposit on that promise. When he came and he took on flesh and he dwelt among us, and then he went to the cross and he took all of our sin on his body at that time. And then when death had him in its deepest, strongest grip, life exploded back. Death could not hold him. And if it could not hold him, what else can he do in your life? What can he do in your life? Don't worry about whether it was this is who you knew you're not. Just focus on him. Follow him. Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. And you may find that if you start following him, this time next year, you may look back 2 weeks and go, I don't see a lot of difference between 2 weeks ago and now. But if you look back then at now, you may say, you know, I've grown. I've matured. I'm a little wiser. Whatever it might be. But know this. You won't be any more or less loved in a year from now than you are right now. Rest in that love. And let him work in your life. That's the good news for this year. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you right now because we are a people in need of good news. We live in a broken world, Father, a world that where we see so much pain, where we see so much violence, so much greed, so much selfishness. Sometimes we see that just when we look in the mirror. But Father, you want to rescue us and restore us. And so we pray that you would do that for us. Father, some people in this room, they've been following you for decades. Some, it's a new walk. And Lord, I pray that wherever they are on this journey, they, like Moses, could sense that you are with them. And for those, Father, who just need to maybe come up here and pray at these steps and just use us like an altar and just call out to you, hear their prayers. Or if there's any in this room right now, this morning, Father, they want to be a follower. They want to move from death to life. They want to be immersed into the waters of baptism, raised to a new life. If they want to call on your name and just let you begin to work in their life, Father, let them know this is a safe place. They can ask their questions. They can look at the evidence. They can decide if Jesus is trustworthy or not. Father, whatever needs to happen in these next few moments, we pray that your Spirit would lead out. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.